God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 27th day of January, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. The sermon tonight from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, preaching from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, as we continue tonight and rise up and build our faith. And kind of hard not to go to the faith chapter when you talk about building your faith and what an important area, important thing. And I hope this year that's one of your goals. I really do. I hope every year one of your goals is that you'll grow in faith. Matter of fact, I think it is something that we need to continue to grow in. And until Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there are so many things that just kind of vex us and wear us down and can definitely affect your faith. And once again, I'm not talking about affecting your salvation, but can just affect your overall faith, you know, in God and His Word, as, you know, so often we do walk by sight instead of by faith. And that's just reality. I mean, if we're honest with each other, there's probably more oftentimes we walk by sight than we do by faith. And we get kind of caught up in that realm. And every once in a while, that's what the Word of God and church does. It kind of jogs our memory and wakes us up and says, you know what? I got to back up. And although what I'm seeing, you know, I'd like to go this direction or do this, the Word of God says this. And what I'm feeling is taking me in this direction. But you know what? I know what the Word of God says. And so tonight I hope we'll be able to just spend just a few minutes just strengthening our faith once again. So let's stand and take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Wonderful condensed chapter on the heroes of the faith. And of course, not all of them listed, but so many that just made such an impact on our faith. You begin with verse 1 and all the way through verse 3, of course, talks about the definition of faith. And it says, now faith is the substance. Faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch, boy, this is good, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now, some of you just don't want to be found. Okay, you're hoping to get lost one day, nobody finds you. But Enoch, man, he was translated, a little transformed, went up to just walk with God. You know, I've heard a lot of preachers talk about it, and one old timer just kind of put it this way. You know, God and Enoch just walking along, and God turned to him one day and said, you know, we're closer to my home than yours. Why don't you just come with me? You know, and of course, we don't know, but all of a sudden, you know, he's gone. He's with the Lord. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. And then it says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. And Lord, we could read on and on about Moses and Isaac and David and so many heroes of the faith, Lord, that are listed here. Lord, some not listed, just the events listed as we get to the end of the chapter. But Lord, as they stood their ground, as Lord, in the midst of so many problems, so many circumstances, different cultures, Lord, how they realized one thing, they focused on you. Lord, tonight I pray that we would just be reminded, Lord, of that biblical and spiritual truth, Lord, of what faith is all about. And Lord, tonight that we would grow stronger in our faith, deeper in our faith, and continue to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Maybe see it. Now, faith is the substance. I think the thing I like about faith is it's not just a wishful or should I say something I got to imagine. There is substance to faith. I mean, there are things that I can look at and I can hang on to and say, hey, this is from God. This is something that God produced, and my hope was revealed because, man, I just knew, you know, God's word said this would happen. I believed it. Man, here it is. Substance. There is substance of faith. I don't know if you're aware of that. In other words, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and I don't believe in God just because of, you know, I just woke up one day and said, you know what, I just think I'm going to believe. Okay, it just doesn't happen that way. It happens because you start looking around. As I talked this morning, you see the very fingerprints of God. You see how God works in people's lives. You read the Word, and you see things matching up, saying, guess what? Everything's matching up with this book. There's some substance to what I'm hoping for. Thus, when I begin to say, hey, when I die one day, I'm going to go to heaven, it's not a vain faith. It's not just an imaginative faith. There's some substance to that. Why? Because of those who've gone on before. Because of what the Word of God showed me, because of all the other proofs that I have. Faith is such an amazing thing. And yet, one of the amazing things about faith is it's, you haven't seen it. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Well, to be quite honest with you, if you see it, if you feel it, if you touch it, it's not faith. And stop and think about that. You know, I say, well, yeah, I want to have faith, preacher, but, you know, just show me first. It don't work that way. You know, it's not show me first. The fact of the matter is God says, no, you show me your faith and then I'll show you. I mean, how many times in the Old Testament did he give a command and say, if you do this? Remember Haman? He was supposed to dip 7 times. Remember that? Or Naaman. I think it's Haman. Wrong guy. Esther, I'm sorry. Naaman guy. I mean, God didn't say, okay, dip 7 times and you'll be healed. But if you don't want to, that's okay. I'll still heal you. As a matter of fact, if you know the story, he goes down once and twice and 3 times. I mean, come on, about 4 or 5, you would hope you'd see some change. You know, I believe there was nothing. I mean, he's going down. And the servant's going, come on, just try it. You know, just keep going. You've tried everything else. You know, why not try God? He goes down 6 times. He's like, man, the muddy water of Jordan. We got better rivers where we're from. This is ridiculous. Just keep going. And it wasn't until the last time. I mean, the last time. 6 times, nothing. He's still leprosy. He's still dirty. Number 7, bam, he's healed. Folks, that's glory to God. That's good stuff. But guess what? Guess how God does that? He says, you first. You first believe what I say, and then you'll see it. Because if you see it, then guess what? It's not faith. Well, it's pretty easy to believe. Matter of fact, next week's the Super Bowl. When it's all said and done, you're going to believe who won. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Well, man, once you get the score and the dumb thing's over with, you go, hey, the Patriots won, man. You're going to say, gee, I knew that. Well, duh, you can see it. It's another thing to be standing there going, no, I believe ahead of time. I believe beforehand because of these things that this is going to happen. Now, that's faith. Faith is to say, hey, I believe. Faith is to be on board before it ever happens. You come up to the Red Sea, and the priests are carrying the ark. And he says, the Jordan River. And he says, okay, put your foot in. You know, I'd like to be the priest. And Moses says, march! And they start marching, and the water's coming. You know, but it doesn't part till their feet hit it. Well, what are you saying, preacher? Listen. It's the evidence of things not seen, but there's evidence. Oh, no, it's just not blind faith. It's just not just make this up. There's whenever God tells you to do something, there's always evidence. What is the evidence? Are you ready? What God has said. The evidence is always what God has said. God will say something, and then you and I have to react to it. Let's take a look at Noah here real quick. So many illustrations, but let's look at Noah. In verse 7, the Bible says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. See, he hadn't seen him yet, but he was warned of God. All the way back in Genesis chapter 6. Many of you know the story of Noah. Beautiful story in Genesis chapter 6. I love the story of faith. I love the story of Noah for a lot of reasons. One of them is, he didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll build an ark. You know, it wasn't a vain, empty thing. It wasn't just something he came up with. God came to him. I mean, God said, I want you to build an ark. And in Genesis 6, he got up and said, okay. Folks, it had never been done before. Nobody had ever stopped and just built an ark in the middle of nowhere just to build an ark. Nobody had ever heard of a flood. Nobody understood what was taking place. And yet here it was. He had the evidence. The evidence is God said to do it. And all he had to do is obey and go do it. Folks, that's what faith is all about. Faith is God saying it and us doing it. You go down to Abraham by faith. By faith, he gets up. You not read the next verse, verse 8. He says, by faith, he gets up and says, man, okay, I'll go wherever you want me to go, God. I'll no longer sojourn in this land. I'll go somewhere else. Why? Because God said it. Let me tell you something, folks. When we're talking about growing in faith, it's nothing you'll have to make up. All it's going to be is this. You've got to listen to what God says and then do it. Faith is taking this word. Faith is taking whatever God has said and saying, okay, I don't understand it. I kind of parallel it to raising kids. You know, you're raising kids. Remember when you were growing up and mom and dad would tell you something? And you just kind of look at them like, man, you're brain dead. I mean, that can't work, or I don't understand that. You know, they're going, no, just do it. This is going to work. And you don't understand, and they don't always explain all the whys. They just said, hey, I said to do it this way, just do it. And then you do it, it's like, wow, mom and dad are smart. You know, they're not that bad. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, for most of you who don't understand this yet, about what, 25, 30, that kind of hits, mom and dad are smart. You know, and you start looking back going, wow, all those things they said, eat your vegetables. Guess what? It's good for you. You say, preacher, do you eat your vegetables? Well, no, I'm an adult. But anyways, gosh, that's crazy. But seriously, remember growing up, they're going, eat your greens. Eat your... Lenny, are you paying attention? Eat your greens, you know, eat your vegetables. It's good for you. And you're sitting there and you're eating the spinach and the broccoli and you're going, ah. And you get older and you start reading all those reports. It's good for you, you know. Eat the tomatoes. It stops cancer. That's yucky stuff. You know, it's weird. But as your kid, you don't get it. All you know is it tastes bad. It tastes yucky. If there's not like 50 pounds of sugar on it, I don't want it. You know? But as a kid, you're just kind of forced because mom and dad are making you. And I remember times crying. Oh, I would bawl when they'd make me eat stuff. Because I'm thinking, it's killing me, man. It's killing me. And you're sitting there eating, especially chicken and dumplings. I know. To this day, I hate chicken and dumplings. You say, why? And don't tell me it's good for you. It's yucky, okay? I love bread, but nothing's worse than mushy bread, okay? Pour gravy over bread. That's a sick thing. And I don't know where you guys started it, but it's sick. Anyways, let's move on. That wasn't even in the nose. It just made me remember what was sick about it. Parents come make you take medicine. By the way, praise God, I did not live in the castor oil age. Amen? Gosh! That would have been hard. Now, this is good for you. You know? But we did it. I mean, seriously, you did it. And as you get older, some of this stuff, except for the casserole, but some of this stuff, it probably is good. I mean, you get older, you start reading and learning. You're like, wow, they were right. Well, they were right. And here you struggled, you fought against it. And now you're going through the same thing with your kids. And all your parents will say, hey, how many times do you say this? Just trust me. And they're fighting with it. Come on, just trust me. Just take it, get it over with. It's going to help you. And you're crying and you're bawling and you're fighting. And it's like, it would have been so much easier if you would have just said, okay. Okay. You know, really, that's faith. We practice faith all the time, or the lack of it all the time. The fact of the matter is, we don't always know. We don't always understand. And by faith, God comes down to Noah and says, build me an ark. Folks, you know, it took 120 years. Now, come on. Don't you think about year one? I don't know about you, but I mean, I know in our day and age, if he made it 2 years, we would have said, what a hero of the faith. He built for 2 years, saw no rain, saw no flood. What a man. Folks, 120 years. Not 10, not 20, not 60. 120 years for one thing. God said it. Let me tell you what's amazing about that. We have no record that God came to him constantly and said it. Now understand this. God did not appear and speak in the same way as we see today. Let me illustrate. For instance, at any time I have a question about biblical things, I have God's written word I can pick up any time. I mean, I can go home if the preacher's preaching, go, I don't know if I believe that. Let me check that out. Read and reread it, reread it. Noah did not have this. God came to him one day and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Here's the dimensions of Genesis 6. This is what I want you to do. Bam, he's gone. And now listen, I'm not saying God didn't, but we have no record that God came to him after 10 years and told him again. At 20 years and told him again. At 60 years and told, there is no record. You don't think after 60 years you're thinking, was that a dream? I mean, did I really talk to God? I mean, it's been 60 years. We're building. Everybody's laughing at me. Is this for real? Now listen, folks. You want to know what real faith is? He kept going. The mocking, the laughing, the doubting, the scorners. You say, how many were there? The whole world. Him and his sons were the only ones who believed. And I'm amazed his sons believed. Come on, at some time you're going to think, is Dad wacko? I mean, has something kicked in? I mean, he's getting a little old now. You know, and did God really? And how many times did the son come to him and say, now Dad, so what you're saying is you were sitting there one night, and you're in your devotions, and God, I mean, and it was God, right? Okay. And God came to you and said, I want you to build an ark. And it was God, right? Yes, and it was. And he gave you the dimensions, right? I mean, this wasn't like pepperoni pizza night, right? You know what? No, son, it was God. Okay, God. Now think about that. 100, longer than any of us will live. Longer than our lifespan. But now listen, for one thing, God said it. You want to know what faith is? We need to get to the point in our life when God says it, that settles it. I mean, it's done. As soon as we read it, we're like, okay, I got it. You know, you understand it? No, that's what he says. Will it work? It's got to work. Well, can you prove it? It's proved right here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never experience the wonders of Christianity until you do it. You see, the premise of faith would be God says. The practice of faith is you do it. Noah got up for 120 years. He built. Then one day, drip, drip, drip. Drip, drip, drip. You know what's interesting at that day? Everybody became a believer that day. But you know what's amazing? Even though they all became a believer that day, it was too late. Let me help you a little bit farther. I believe everybody will become a believer one day. Called the Great White Throne Judgment. There won't be a doubter anymore then. What, I don't think you go to heaven now, preacher? Oh, no. God says you believe ahead of time. And God says, I've given you enough evidence, enough proof, enough substance right there, that if you'll look at it, if you'll read it, if you'll believe it. And by the way, we are more accountable today than any other generation. Nobody has what we have today. Nobody can study like we can study. Nobody has the preaching, the information, the ability. And even though Noah was a preacher of righteousness, he was limited to his area. He didn't have radio, TV, he didn't have tracks. And only those people around that he could get to even heard the word. And yet you have it all around you. Do not think God will expect less out of you and I. He will expect more. We should be the strongest faith people in the world. And yet oftentimes in churches today, our generation is the weakest. I dare say if we can compare to past generations, and I know they say comparing among themselves is not wise. But I'm here to tell you, if we look back, and with all the information we have today, and we compare Christianity as a whole, we compare churches as a whole today to the New Testament. You got to stop and say, what happened? What happened? God keeps giving us more evidence. You and I can look back over 2,000 years of how God worked, not just in the death, burial, and resurrection, but in the churches. I mean, all these things. You can read history and stories. You can read personal testimonies. And they just keep mounting every single year. Volumes after volumes are written about God performing miracles. Even today, healing people. All the time. And yet we have people sitting there going, I don't really believe. And we don't always say it with our lips. When it comes to the practice of living by faith, it's a rare commodity today that somebody will step out and say, you know what? The whole culture is going this way. The whole world is going this way. But I'm building an ark. You say, yeah, but no one else is building an ark. I know, but this is what God says. I'm building an ark. How long are you going to do it? Until I'm dead or Jesus Christ comes back. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm not building an ark. Well, you're probably missing the picture. We need Christians to stand up and say, you know what? I'm living by thus saith the word of God, no matter what anybody else does. And I'm going to tell you right now, it will not get easier. Christendom, as we call it today, those who claim to be Christians will be some of your greatest opponents. Your greatest opponents. You've got to be kidding me, preacher. Oh, no. Oh, it's easy to tell somebody in the world that doesn't believe, know and understand God. But you take those who claim to be believers, you start standing up and saying, well, this is what God says, and thus saith the word of God. And they go, whoa, wait a second, preacher. No. You're just getting pushy and legalistic and all that. No. But listen, folks. You're going to have to stop and say, no, this is my ark. God has told me to live this way. God has told me to be this way, to guide my family this way. And no matter what anybody else says or does, I'm going to go by thus saith the word of God. Look back at our verse, Hebrews chapter 11. It's so rich. If you look at it, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Look at this. He moved with fear. I call this the practice of faith. Man, he moved with fear. God comes and speaks to him. I got to admit, if you knew it was God and God was talking to you, that'd scare me to death. I mean, wouldn't you think that'd be a pretty good motivator to bring maybe Jesus Christ to the surface? You think maybe some people get right with God if one day Jesus actually transformed up here? It's not me, so don't worry about that. But I mean, if you push the pastor aside and Jesus transformed, you knew it was him, and he started talking. You think people that sit there and say, I'm fine, you think maybe they wouldn't be fine? Maybe you think people that sit there and go, I don't need to go forward, I don't need to pray, I don't need to do any repenting. You know, I'm with me and God, we're okay. I kind of think it would change things, don't you? See, when he came face to face with God, he was moved with fear. Now, this isn't popular, but I'm going to help you. As loving as our God is, he ought to scare you to death. I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I try to live right. Okay? And you may not like this. You may be shocked by this. Okay? One of the reasons I live right is not just because it says it right here, but I'll be real honest with you. I believe God can find me anywhere. And I'm just going to be real transparent with you. I'm pretty scared to death of Him. Well, now, isn't He just a loving God that'll put His arms around you? I'm not worried about the arms around me. I'm worried about them squeezing me. Okay? Oh, you shouldn't have a view of God that way. Yeah, He's your loving Father. Bingo, my loving Father. And if I claim to be His, Hebrews says very clearly that He chastises His sons. And so in other words, I think one of the things that ought to motivate us to practice our faith and live for Him is this. We have a healthy fear of Almighty God. Often what's being removed in our society, every stat I read, we're not increasing in our faith. Are you understand this? We're decreasing. Last year, 38% of the people believed that this was the Word of God. This year, 28% believe. Something's wrong. Every stat continues to decline in the area of faith. Every stat continues to go down. And even in our churches, the fundamental churches, there's not a growing, there's a declining in the things of God. I'm going to tell you one of the reasons. It's not because the Word of God has changed. We're not afraid anymore. We're not afraid anymore. Let's just be honest. When that fear element's removed, it changes things. Going to school, it's interesting in our generation. I know it's going to shock our teenagers today, but I was actually afraid of our principal. I mean, going to the principal's office was a bad thing. Okay, and I can't imagine what it is like now, but I remember, 10, 15 years ago, I was youth director, I subbed at our junior high, and I'll never forget seeing this kid that was in trouble. And I'm walking to the next class, and he's sitting in the lunchroom with a ding-dong. And his punishment was, he got to get out of class and not take any notes, sit in the cafeteria and eat a ding-dong. I'm like, sign me up. You know, as I'm walking by and I'm looking at this and I'm watching the principal talk to him and everything, I'm thinking, wow, that's like 15 years ago. I'm thinking, so when you get in trouble, you don't get suspended, you don't get disciplined, you get ding-dongs? Whoa, yeah. And we say, I don't understand why the kids aren't afraid of the principal today. There's no power. There's no power. I mean, there's nothing that happens. You know, there's nothing bad that happens to them. As I tell you, I mean, most of us, how many of you when you grew up, if you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home? Yeah, that's gone. You know, now if you get in trouble at school, mom and dad go, what'd they do to you? Come on, Johnny, we'll go talk to that little teacher. Don't you hurt my little Johnny. And there wasn't even a question. If I came home in trouble, we didn't get to go, it was the teacher. Maybe after the beating, we got to give our side, you know. You know, then it was like, it was the teacher. Oh, I'm sorry. That was one you deserved anyway. You say, well, that was a bad training. We need to go back to that. Now listen. You say, well, what does that have to do with the message? I'll tell you what. In my home, in school, growing up, I was afraid of the punishment, so I did what was right. Today, I think so often, we teach so much about the love of God, and I believe in the love of God, and we have the grace of God, and I believe in it. But I'm here to tell you, if there's no fear of consequences and punishment, and I believe it's missing, you say, how do you know? Why is there so much problems and sin today? Why? Well, look at our court systems just in America. Come on, the principle plays out every single day. Why are there so many repeat offenders? Well, yeah, I'm going to get in trouble and I get to go to jail, get 3 meals a day. Cool. You'll even train me? Cool. You know, I mean, think about it. How is this good? And the same thing's happening in our churches today. We're not getting into the Word of God and understand, listen, Noah did this because guess what? He was scared to death of the judgment of God. So before we stop and say, oh, he's just him and God were like this. Yeah, they were. But it was a respect. He knew, hey, when God said it was going to flood one day and everybody dies unless you're in the boat, he believed it. When it didn't happen after 10 years, he said, that's okay, I still believe it. 20 years, it's okay, I still believe it. 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, he said, I still believe it. By the way, hey, can I remind you? Jesus Christ is coming back one day. You believe it? You're afraid of standing before God one day at the Bema seat and having to give an account? You're afraid of meeting the righteous judge one day? Because I tell you, sure helps to live right. Sure helps you to live right when you have a healthy fear of God. Knowing that one day, it could be tomorrow, the rapture takes place and I'm standing there and have to give an account of my whole life. I think if that was in our forefront a little bit more, we just might have more faith. I'm trying to help you folks. The premise of what faith is whatever God says. What helps you to practice it is he was moved with fear. And look what it says. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world. I've always enjoyed that, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I think it's obvious application. The fact of the matter that as we prepare and we live in faith, you know, our family's going to follow behind us. But there's an interesting aspect that comes afterwards. That is kind of a test. I want you to look at it. And it says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now in Genesis chapter 6 verse 9, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I want you to follow this. Noah did preach the word of God. Okay? From what he knew, what revelation was at that time, he proclaimed it. I believe his standard message was this. There's a flood coming, and we're going to build a boat. If you don't accept God and be ready to get in the boat, you're going to die. I think they laughed him to scorn. Okay? Because they're all going, you got to be kidding me. But he just kept doing it anyways. I don't think Noah had a lot of friends. To be quite honest, I don't really think he did. One, because of his preaching, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you go back and read in that day, the Bible says everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. There was literal chaos. There was no standard, no morals. There was no government to guide. There was no police, no army. Nobody made anybody. If I didn't like you and I wanted to kill you and take your land, I did it. The only one that would get back at me would be that family. I mean, it was total chaos is all that it was. It got so bad, that's why God is bringing the flood. He's looking at the wickedness of mankind. Now imagine this. You think you have it bad? It is so wicked. So wicked at that time. And it's to such a degree that God has to destroy all of mankind to set things straight. Now, before we go too far, can I help you? The Bible says you start getting to prophecy, it'd be like in the days of Noah. So in other words, you say, well, you know, America's getting better. Wake up. Most of you 50 years ago didn't lock your doors. You better now. Most of you lock doors and have shotguns. I mean, it's like, it's a different environment. And by the way, that's not going to get better. You look, if you ever travel, you'll travel and there's bars all over the place to get into anything. You're going to an apartment or hotels, like everything's locked down. You're like, why? People are wicked. It's wicked. It's coming to that. And so we see this wickedness just developing. So here's Noah. Now listen, I don't believe necessarily that Noah walked around, went house to house saying, you're drinking in here, you're old sin. No. But Noah had an adverse effect upon his community, not just because of his preaching. Are you ready? Yes, because of his preaching, which explained what it was, but because of the way he lived. I wrote this down in my notes and see if I remember right. Noah made them feel convicted. Let me tell you where our faith ought to be. Our faith ought to be to this place that we're not walking around verbally attacking everybody we run into. Our neighbors living together and we're going, you're in sin. And our neighbor drinks, you shouldn't drink, you're going to die and go to hell. You don't have to say that. Guess what? If you live right, your life will be saying it. And I don't miss this. You've never heard me preach. I just go around and tell everybody they're sinners. No. Man, you preach the truth and you live the truth and no debate about that. But I'm a firm believer of this. When you start living by faith to the degree that we're talking about here, and you get to the point where your faith is growing, literally as people are around you, you will convict people by the very life that you live. As you're at work and they start cussing, they're going to say stuff like this. Oh, sorry. You said, why? Because they know you. They know you. And you didn't turn around and go, hey, don't you do that, you wicked person. And I'm not saying there's never a time for that. I think there is. If they're using God's name in vain, I think you can say, hey, listen, you're going to cuss or something. That's up to you, but please don't use God. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think most of the time they're just cussing. They're doing their vulgarness. And they're talking about their wives and their husbands and stuff. And you just turn and walk away. Turn and walk away. That very action, you know what it did? It convicts people. Matter of fact, they'll start saying stuff about you like, well, you're just kind of judgmental. And you haven't said a word. You're just kind of a negative. You're just attacking me. No, not a bit. Sometimes it's in your own family. You said, why is that, preacher? I'm going to tell you why. He condemned the world. Now listen. He condemned the world by his living. Let me tell you what faith ought to be. Our faith ought to get to the point that the very presence of us, do not take this wrong, it's not because we're anything special, but our life is so different from the world that our very presence condemns the world of sin. That's the type of faith God wants out of us. Not that we blend in. Not that we fit into the world. But literally, they used to say of old Billy Sunday, he's a preacher of righteousness. They say, and I assume it's true from the things I read, that he'd walk into places and literally, when he would walk into different businesses and so forth, men would just stop right there, and they'd repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ just as he walked in. They'd be so convicted by his presence. Many, of course, had heard sermons and been to the revivals, and as he showed up, there's like, well, literally, bars would close down in town. They'd literally just shut down. They would remove him as he'd come into town. He was adamant against alcohol and the abuses of what it was doing to the family. And literally, and he'd preach against it, and he'd talk about it, of course, but even as he showed up, those that were adamant to say, we'll do what we want, suddenly the whole town would rise up and say, no more. He condemned the world, not just through his preaching, but through his living. Now, don't take this wrong. I don't think we need to be critical, judgmental people. That's not what the message is. If you take it to that degree, there's problems. All I'm saying is, I think Noah, every day he went out there, and he picked up a hammer, and he picked up some wood and went, and somebody came by. I don't think he said, sinner! You're going to die. I don't think when they walked by, he went, you better take swimming lessons. He wasn't sadistic. He wasn't mean. I think as he came by, he's doing this, and people would come and say, what are you doing? Well, listen, God spoke to me, and there's going to be a flood, and God's going to destroy the earth. And hey, man, you need to accept God in your life. And I don't believe that God stuff. No, really, can I just talk to you about it? No, I'm not interested. And you go back to work. I think maybe he took time on the Sabbath, and he stopped, and he was there with his family. He'd preach to them. He preached to those that would listen. I think it was mean. I just see nothing in the Word of God. The Bible says he was just blameless man, non-contaminated. But his very life, every day when he heard, it did something. You either had to join him or mock him. It was that simple. You need to understand something. If you're going to live for God, they're either going to join you or mock you. Whether they do it to your face or not, that's part of life, if we're going to have real faith. And guess what? That's what we're called to. So you say, well, nobody likes me. They're not supposed to. Just believers are going to like you. The world, they hate my guts. You ought to go, yeah. That doesn't mean we hate them back. And like I said, don't take the message farther than it is. But I'm reading this and it says, Noah condemned the world. He condemned the world. And I do not believe it was a verbal condemnation. I believe it was a lifestyle where he lived by faith. Because the whole context of chapter 11 is, he lived by faith. Let me ask you, is your life condemning sin and drawing people to God? It ought to. There ought to be enough righteousness in this dark world that people see. May I challenge you folks, and myself as well, we've got to grow in our faith. We've got to grow in our faith. Why? Verse 6, if you back up, I enjoy this. The Bible says, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'll close with this. You want to know why we ought to have great faith and keep growing in our faith? Because God is. In other words, he exists, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just like Noah, when he was done with the ark, God put him aside. Everybody died, but he and his sons and their families. That's it. Everybody else gone. God said, for 120 years, you were mocked, you were scorned, you kept going, you believed, you just did what I said, you got rewarded. There is not a believer here that does not go through all the stress that we go through in this life. The family issues, the work, the society, all this, and you keep living by faith and just loving God and doing your best, that God will not reward you. Understand this. One of the other reasons besides fear that I serve God is I respect his rewards. I believe that God's the greatest rewarder, and if I'll just be faithful to him, and it may not come this year or next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now, and everybody else may forget about who John Waterloo is and what I'm about, and you know what? It doesn't matter. You know why? God never forgets. And I may be abandoned in every way imaginable. If you're sitting here and say, well, I've been serving God for years, and what am I getting back? Hang on. It's a coming. Because my God says he is a rewarder of them that diligently serve him. So, folks, I'm going to tell you. Let me give some motivation. It's worth being faithful to God and growing in your faith. Because when payday comes, it's the best payday you'll ever have. Better than anything you can imagine. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now, Lord, and I pray you'd help us to grow in our faith. Lord, as we look at so many great characters, Hebrews 11 is just full of them, Lord. Time would not permit us to expound on each one. You know, Lord, Noah is one of those that is a favorite of mine. And because of the length of time and the endurance and perseverance in his life, Lord, I pray that we would be able to have. Lord, I see that lacking in Christianity today. It seems so often when things aren't going our way and life isn't giving us what we want, there often is a sliding back, the falling behind. Attendance begins to wane. Offering begins to wane. Spirit begins to wane. Things begin to back up. And it's a sign, Lord, our faith is drawing back instead of forward. And yet, Lord, I know as feeble human beings, we're all prone to that. But, Lord, I pray that we would grow such in our faith, Lord, that we would just start serving you and living for you just because you said. And, Lord, that a fear of you, a healthy fear of you and a healthy understanding that you are the great rewarder will balance our service. Lord, I pray that none of us would become judgmental, critical, negative. There's no purpose of that in the message tonight, Lord. No intention at all that we go around condemning people. But Lord, that our very life would bring people to a point, Lord, that they'd see the light that is in us, that they'd have to make a choice. To either ask what it is and pursue it, or to run from it. Lord, help us to be lights unto the world for those that want to find you and seek you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.